Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wakey, wakey. I'm here with my co-host, Dimitri Cerny.
Oh! We got a big audience.
Oh! Dimitri Cerny, they love you, man.
They love me. Hey, thank you. That's so kind.
Wow, take another bow.
Okay. There we go.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, and then silence.
Warm welcome.
Silence.
No clapping.
Dimitri. Enough.
You flew all the way from Canada to do our show tonight.
That's right. Just especially to be here tonight.
And you know what? We're honored to have you back. How have you been, man?
I've been great. How about you?
What have you been up to? Sex change operation was
all right. It went really good. It was a success.
I'm just kidding.
No, it was good. I'm, working on the house and making some trails in the backyard. And
that's got to be fun.
Oh, it's fun.
So when you make trails, you like bringing a shovel and like doing?
No, I hire somebody to do it.
Okay, so what do they do?
They got like a mini excavator, and you know they're making they clean everything up. They cut through the wood and lay down some wood chips and whatnot.
So they make like a dirt trail?
Yeah, they first make a dirt trail and then they lay down some wood chips. Yeah.
So what's the difference between wood chips and a dirt trail?
Well, it's just, you know, it doesn't, like, the bushes don't grow back as easily.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it goes all the way to the beach?
No, it doesn't.
Goes up to the mountains?
Up the hill, yeah. Okay. The hill back. It's and a very small trail.
How far is the trail?
Not very far.
Like a mile?
No.
Like less than a mile?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's an easy walk.
Yeah, it is.
So a chubby Indian guy can come visit.
Yeah, it's for chubby people.
You're like, I must make a trail. Did you name it?
No, not yet.
You should name it.
I should. What should I name it?
Name it after your daughter.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe. And give it like a whimsical, like Finley's fantasy of, you know.
You know, I got some fairy doors for along the way, so I could put some fairy doors in the
Finley's
trees
fairy and, door. Yeah, I think fairy like door. That,
yeah.
Fairway.
Yeah.
That's what you should call it.
Maybe.
See?
Finley's Fairyland.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, you like that?
I saw the little doors. I was like, Dimitri, don't go through the back.
No, you cannot actually go through those.
Where did you find those little doors for the trees?
I saw one. I was in Victoria, and then I saw one just randomly, and I was like, I need to do this. I think kids would love to do that, you know, walk through the forest and be like, oh, what's this?
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that'd be a good idea. So I ordered a couple online.
That and the stoners, they'll be like,
"Yeah,
whoa, dude, what's look there? At this. Maybe I am in Oz or something.
Can we go through here?"
I went to Vegas this weekend.
Oh yeah, you went to Vegas.
You
know, so
you and I have gone to Vegas.
We've had some crazy nights in Vegas.
We need to go do another trip to Vegas. I went all the way to Vegas.
Yeah.
And didn't play one hand of blackjack.
Unbelievable.
And it was, I mean, easy. But, you know, I did go see a concert. I went and saw John Mayer.
Wow. How was John Mayer?
You know, he's one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
And he is a great songwriter, but I really go see him for his guitar playing.
Really?
Like, his guitar playing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I was actually telling my friends, I'm like, he plays Wait Until Tomorrow by Jimi Hendrix better than Hendrix played it. Like, Hendrix wrote it.
Yeah.
Hendrix is one of my favorite guitarists of all time. But, yeah, man, like, he plays it with this insane band, Steve Jordan on drums, Pino Palladino, who you and I met at a coffee shop, like, 3 weeks ago.
And
David Ryan Harris, who you know. We've done some songwriting
amazing
sessions with him.
Guy.
He's been a guest on our show. And just a bunch of killer musicians. And the band just sounds on fire. So he's got this new record out.
What's your favorite song on the new record?
The new record, Moving On, Getting Over,
yeah.
and Still Feel Like a Man. Mm-hmm. They're both like Marvin Gaye, soul, classic songs.
Right.
So I like those songs to me are like the most efficiently well put together songs on the record.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another song called Helpless, which sounds like a Keith Richards, Rolling Stones kind of groove, a riff, and the tone of his guitar I just love, you know. So yeah, man, it's pretty crazy like how he's playing, how the band is gelling. I saw two different shows. The first night Ryan Adams sat in, which was insane.
Wow.
Where
did you see the first show?
The first show was at the Forum.
Forum.
Yeah,
so in LA. Okay.
It was in LA. I missed the first couple songs, but then the band was just like grooving. Mm-hmm. And the sound with the drums, like I loved where I was sitting the first night because mm-hmm. the sound of the drums were just so big.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that feel of that pocket, you know. And then the second night, the sound overall, especially for John's guitar tone and everything, they had some technical problems with his pedal board the first night, but second night they were just on fire.
What hotel was he playing at?
He played it in the T-Mobile Arena.
Okay.
Which is like probably about 18,000, maybe 15,000
people. Oh, wow. It was packed, I assume.
Packed.
Wow.
Totally packed. And the Forum was totally packed.
Yeah.
And that's about 20,000 people, wow. too. And it's just, I mean, he's just out of level. And it was the last night of his first leg of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So he played a little bit longer. Right. He went deep into his catalog right. and played some B-sides. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then he did like a bunch of extended kind of additions. And the way he did the show is kind of cool. He did, he made it like a movie. So like mm-hmm. he opened the show and there were credits,
yeah.
you know, of who was in the band.
Oh,
like starring
wow.
so-and-so.
Cool.
Yeah. And so like, you know, act one was the band and then act two was acoustic. And then the third act was, the trio.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and the fourth act was the band again, and mm-hmm. then at the very end of all of that, his encore was just him on a piano.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, it was just really well yeah. done, and then he had closing credits. It was like watching a movie for 2 hours, wow. you know? So
did he have like a little Avengers theme after that, a little Avengers scene after the credits, you know?
I have no idea what...
what I'm talking
about. Take your time. Take your time.
God damn it!
It's okay. It's yeah. okay. What are you talking about?
you know, if you watch like an Avengers movie,
yeah,
you wait.
Oh
the
yeah,
credits
yeah, yeah.
And,
that was
know.
The epilogue.
Oh,
so he did okay. like the whole show was over, and then he came out and did that song. Right, on
so
the
you
piano.
Did do it. Yeah,
he did yeah, do it, but awesome. it was more like the credits weren't up yet.
Okay,
so it was like for his encore, you didn't think he was coming out, and then he came out and did one more song.
Did people leave already?
A lot of people were starting to leave, yeah. and then
they
it was
came
like
back.
The timing of it. Because I thought I was the first night. I was like, "Oh, I think he's done." And
right.
then, like, I was starting to leave, and then.
Now, as a chubby man, I gotta ask you: when you're
yeah.
in Vegas, where did you eat?
Oh man! So there's this restaurant in Pensacola that is called Bonefish Grill,
mm-hmm.
and Bonnie and I haven't eaten there since we were in Pensacola. They have a bunch of them in the South, and so I found out that they had one in Vegas,
wow.
our last Vegas trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't have enough time. It just
right.
didn't work out. So that night I was like, "Do you want to go to Bonefish Grill for dinner?" And she's like, "Oh my god, that would be perfect. They have the best like corn chowder, great food, really, really mm-hmm. well done." And so we went there for dinner, and then exactly. yeah. So yeah, then we went to the concert, and then we brought Otis with us. Otis was in the room watching some cartoons. He went into his doggy bag, grabbed the food of dog food, and just placed it on the bed. Right next to his toys.
While you were there or while you were gone?
Like while we were gone.
Wow.
It was pretty kind of crazy that
right.
he did that because he saw me put the food in the bag. And then when I came back at like 12:30, I came back and he looked guilty. He's like, "I don't know how this bag of food got here." But yeah, so he had the bag of food out. He didn't figure out the Ziploc.
Wow.
So he just assumed that it was like, you know, locked forever.
Right.
And yeah, man, it was kind of crazy.
Awesome.
But it was an amazing trip. And, you know, I did three trips in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
all in the desert. Did the Grand Canyon, then did Coachella,
right.
then after Coachella did Vegas, and it's like, I'm like deserted out.
Wow,
like,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
okay, I need to just be at home and not go to the desert for a while
yeah,
because that's a lot of
desert.
That's
quite the program you did, yeah.
Do you notice a difference when you go to Canada? like the in the air. Or anything like that?
And I mean, the U.S. has all the different kind of climates. So, but I mean, just going from the desert to like
tell us about these
green areas. Yeah, yeah, no, there's and it's you know it's raining the whole time, so there's a lot of water and. Yeah.
A lot of water.
A lot of water. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got for water?
Let me see. I think I've got... Oh, that's what I got for water. So we got that going for us.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey. 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 What are you listening to these days, music-wise? I know we're writing a lot of music, you know, but we never talk about this.
I just got a vinyl player, so I got a bunch of old vinyls. I bought... what did I get? I got Al Green.
Nice.
I got Otis Redding.
Nice.
Been listening to that a lot. I've got the I got the Doors. I just got that.
Which Doors album did you get? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
So you got to start learning the records. You can't just say the names anymore.
Yeah, I just
because not all them. Al Green albums are amazing.
Yeah, but
some are.
I think it was like a best of. So
okay,
I got all the good ones. Yeah,
like I want to make sure.
Well, you know, my collection is now. I got like what? I got like 8 vinyls.
Oh, come on, easy audience, easy. He's just starting out.
Yeah,
he's
just starting out. So.
God damn it!
So how many? You got 8 records?
Yeah.
Do you have like a little crate to like put them in or anything?
No, actually, hang them on the wall. So kind of looks cool.
So that every time you got to put the record away, you got to get it off the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not fun.
No, it is fun. It's a whole lot of fun.
A lot of work.
That's a good little stretch exercise. It's better than bending down and going into the wall. You know, pitching it out of the toilet.
That was an accident. I didn't mean to do that.
Are you sure?
I'm trying to grab your vinyl. And you're like, it's up here. Sorry. Let me just play this. I want to play this, but it's not.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
But anyways, our guest is on his way.
Get in there.
And we're done with that. Our guest is on his way, and he is actually in traffic right now. He just texted me. I've been there many a times.
Yeah. I'm surprised we got here on time.
We got here on time because your host with the most is very
your host with the most of what?
He is a baller, so yeah. We got no. Actually, you know, it's a really kind of a crapshoot with traffic in LA. It's like you can leave not knowing when you're going to get there, but man, you'll either get there or you won't.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, but it's you know, I've been in that situation where he's like in traffic right next to the station, probably pulling his hair out, and I've been there, and Eddie's like, well, do you want to just call in? Should we just do it like that?
Yeah, we could do that.
And then my mom and dad always go, you got to get to your show on time. I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's your show.
Yeah,
I mean,
I got to be there.
Yeah,
I'm here though.
You should be.
I'm ready.
You should be.
I'm ready.
Are you?
I'm not monkeying around. I'm here. I am here and ready to play.
So let me ask you, what are you listening to right now?
I'm listening to a lot of the John Mayer record. Yeah. I'm actually listening to this great female artist named Liana Lajavis.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of her?
No.
She is a soul singer from the UK.
Okay.
She is amazing. She's also a dancer. And she's like a modern dancer. So in one of her videos called Unstoppable, she's singing her ass off and she's doing all this like dramatic interpretation with dance. And it's amazing. And it's all soul, funk, retro, just great producing and arranging. So I just listened to her record. I was listening to the new Radiohead for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was okay. But, you know, it's crazy. A lot of records lately haven't been... The present-day records have not been inspiring me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been going back to older records.
Right.
And then finding out things. Like, I've been listening to Pink Floyd and listening to... You know, old records like that really blow my mind, you know, as far as arranging and, you know, kind of the songwriting and the production. It's like that stuff is timeless for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding a lot of the newer records. I bought John Legend's new record. It was okay. I bought who else's record that I recently buy that I was just kind of okay with?
Do you think a record like Pink Floyd's would have worked if it came out today? Do you think people would buy it? Do you think it would...
I want to believe that like great music is great music and it will always be purchased because you look at Adele, like Adele sold like she was in the 70s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a timing thing or if it's a marketing thing or if it's just like right sound at the right time. But, you know, a lot of those artists, they kind of they change the way we feel and think about music,
right,
or what's happening in music. Right now, I think what's happening in music is a lot of things are getting homogenized. Like a lot of music is actually sounding the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of different artists have the same sound.
Right.
They're writing music in the same keys. They're writing music with the same elements. They're writing songs with the same ingredients, you know, as far as beats or BPMs or whatever, beats per minute. You know, so a lot of the stuff is very, it's almost too similar. And I like hearing a band that kind of sounds very different.
Mm-hmm.
The band that blew me away at Coachella was Two Door Cinema Club.
Right.
They were awesome. They really sounded like The Police meets U2.
Wow.
With like a little bit of electronic edge.
That sounds cool.
It's, I love hearing bands that kind of have a different vibe, you know what I mean? Where they can just like create something, a sound that's very new and fresh. What, do I think Pink Floyd would sell? Yeah, I do, because the songs are still relevant today.
Right.
Like, they're very political.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. They sound texturally awesome. Do I think a Pink Floyd would exist today? Like, would a record label fund them? No.
Right.
I don't think so. And that's what's a shame.
Right. Because
I don't think a record label would invest that much time, energy, and finances.
And do you think, though, if he was an indie artist and would do it himself, do you think people would recognize that and buy his records? And
you mean Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
I think that you know, I think Pink Floyd of today would sound very different. Oh, what up?
What up?
His arrival. Oh. Dude, have a seat.
Welcome.
That's your water.
Oh,
I'm very excited about this interview.
Right.
Put the phones on. Let's do this.
All right. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
That's right.
Guys, look at this.
Fair warning. They don't stop. They don't stop. They keep going for a while.
Quincy Jones.
How do I tell people to listen to this
live? LATalkRadio.com. Yeah. I think I tagged you in a post. It should be on your Facebook.
Radio.
But anyways, Quincy Jones, we've been trying to get you back here for years. You've had a crazy whirlwind of a roller coaster.
Been a little busy, guys.
Yeah.
A little busy.
You've been all over the place. You did your first HBO special.
Yes, I did.
You were on Ellen DeGeneres.
I was on that.
You were on Conan.
I did that.
You've been doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I know what you're thinking it is.
It's not.
But it's just a piece of chocolate. Yeah, yeah.
Don't fucking mislead us with false advertising, man. You guys can't see. We're in the studio.
That's right.
And I come in, and there's a nice bottle of water. It's nice and chill.
Yep.
And then there's like a green nug in a clear plastic bag. Universal sign for it being weed. I pick
That's
it up,
right.
I smell it. Doesn't smell like
no,
dank. I was
no.
like, okay. Look at it. He's like, it's a piece of chocolate. I didn't come here for this.
I wanted to give you something that you'd be waiting for have an experience with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I need that green chocolate.
That's right.
Is it edible?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. No,
it's
not. No,
it's
not an
edible. No, it's just a straight up.
Well,
piece of
you
chocolate.
Know what? We'll see. He ate his in the beginning of the show, so we'll see where you know,
I ate mine
where he
I was
ends
like,
up.
I love chocolate. Let's see. No. I was told that it's just a piece of chocolate.
All right. Well, I gotta go.
You're like, this is not fly. Now, you were on our show 2 years ago.
Yeah, has it been 2 years?
It's been 2 years.
Where's Eddie?
Eddie couldn't make it tonight because Colton is sick.
Oh.
So Dimitri is here from Canada.
Not that Dimitri is.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, we're kind of welcome.
I took care of Eddie.
Easy. Yeah, so Dimitri's filling in for Eddie. But Eddie's also a stand-up comic, so Quincy was like, dude, I've done shows with this guy. I was hoping he'd be here.
Yeah. I haven't seen either of these guys in a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I follow your posts and whatnot.
Dude, your posts have been intense, man.
Man, it's been a crazy year, man. Where do we begin?
Let's talk about that. Okay, so
when was the last time I was on here?
So maybe about 2 years? About two years.
I don't ever want to go that long without being in the show again.
I agree. High five.
Yeah.
We're going to seal it with a high five.
Yeah, I'll get that. I won't be here next time, probably. Vancouver Island.
You never know.
Vancouver Island.
Now, do you have any connects to the clubs up there?
No.
I'm trying to go up
I wish.
Well,
I just moved back.
Just moved back to Vancouver?
Yeah. But you know what? I can ask around.
Yes.
I'll ask around. Yeah.
See that?
For sure.
From the heart, Demetrius.
You got it.
All right, so 2 years ago, what are we, 2017, around this time, I was, like, way lighter. I was losing weight. My belly was filling up with fluid. Ended up being cancer.
Yeah.
And I have peritoneal mesothelioma, stage 4. So it's just, you know, I'm just living right now. I do chemo every 3 weeks. We're trying to get me, raise some money for me to get immunotherapy.
What's that?
Is, immunotherapy is where it teaches your cells how to detect, fight, and kill the cancer cells. Hmm. So it's like, you know, it's less, it's not putting radioactive waste in my body. Right. So there's that. So,
and the chemo, like, that's kind of, I've heard crazy stories.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough, man. It usually puts me out for a week, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know, now that I have an HBO special, it's like, I guess I'm a full-time comic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are.
Being a full-time comic means you sort of have to be booked.
Right.
Which I'm not. Which
that's
is,
crazy.
Which is why it's like, I don't know. Like, you know, I was talking to Bobby Lee this past weekend, just vented to him about some of the frustration with the industry. And he was telling me, he's like, it comes and goes, man. You know, he's having, Bobby Lee's having a great year. You know, so he was in Love. He was in you know, I just saw him in Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And he's doing great. But, you know, he's like, you know, he had, there's years.
But he's hit strides where he's.
Yeah,
he's
but he's also been doing it 25 years. So when you have 25 years, you have, you know, stuff going on. So there's frustrations with that, you know, because it's like you now have the pressure of the credit that's underneath you. And that, now when you get just a late night set, nobody's thinking that you, this is in the 70s or 80s where now you're like, boom, you get a TV deal and all that. Now it's just like, oh.
It's like another performance.
Yeah, now, but now I have an HBO special. I was on Ellen. You know, I have all these, you know, credits that are supposed to catapult me to another level. And it's not what I thought it would be.
You know, it's the illusion. I that's what I've noticed too. It's
it's all
illusion. It's a slow burn. You know what I mean? And then you just burn in the next place.
Because there's no end in sight.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
in the '70s, when you did that talk show, that co-host or that host would make their calls to those comedy clubs and get you booked or get you in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Carson was like instrumental in getting a lot of huge comics their big breaks. You know, Jay Leno for one, David Letterman for another. Also, you know, people like Ray Romano, Seinfeld, all those guys he was connected to, you know. So it all depends on, you know, how and who is hosting those networks now. I mean, I love all the late night, you know, talk show hosts, but they're so busy doing all this other stuff that it's like they're not putting their neck out for people like the old school cats are.
I mean, you know? But that's not what they're supposed to do. I mean, here's what I'm supposed to do. Now I have the door open to do more with my career than before. Right. Now it's hard because it's like ideally you sort of, well, can I fix it, adjust this mic?
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to, you know, I'll do it like this.
Oh, just bring it closer. Yeah. I was like, I could have pulled it closer. Yeah. I was like, can I adjust it? He's like, yeah.
Well, you have to adjust it like here.
Well,
like,
I can bend it. Like,
oh, no,
right.
Can't.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to be like, oh, shit, yeah, I broke your microphone.
That's why I was like, just push it.
He saw me getting ready to get that male aggression. Like, oh, let me just.
It's not working right. It's not working right.
Let me just get it done, man.
It's like easy.
You know, I'm becoming more. I have these credits, and I'm trying to figure out what to do now. You know, so that is the next thing.
And you got this crazy story. You were doing comedy, like you were doing the hustle, doing mics, doing everything.
Yeah.
And then you got this crazy diagnosis.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw you probably one of the biggest curveballs of your life.
Yeah.
And then you started hustling even harder, which I was like, I got to tell you, Dimitri, his story, like we had met before that he got the diagnosis. And then out of the blue, I think 6 months into your diagnosis, that's when I discovered that he was even diagnosed. Because, you know, sometimes people's newsfeed don't come.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't post about it. I'm not a social media person. I'm kind of a recluse. I like to just sort of, like, deal with people, you know, when they come. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a problem with it. I like people, but I don't like social media.
Right.
You know, because that's not the real person. I'd rather have a. I don't even add people on my social media that I haven't met in real life first.
Right.
You know, because I'm fuck my family's on there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got
niece
and nephew. I'm not just going to have you just tossing wrecking stuff on a status in my cousin. Nah, I got to fight you there. Exactly.
It's a fight.
Exactly. Well, that's how I fight with mother of all bombs.
Fights.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's my, yeah, now Bruce Lee shit.
Yeah.
You remember when you used to fight, like, you'd make that, like, the sound faster than the action?
Yeah, yeah,
like, yeah, yeah. Like, you're never as fast as your mouth was.
I remember watching these boxing fights, and I was like, are they really that quick? They're so quick.
Dude, here's the thing. You don't realize how how amazing boxing or, like, cycling classes are until you have to do it for the length of a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, boxing rounds are, like, 3 minutes long. Right,
that's true. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a long time.
Like,
yeah.
You people think, like, here's the thing. Street fights aren't even 3 minutes long.
Yeah, that's true. Right, that's true.
Street fight, like, if we capture the best video, like, after all the talk and the hair pulling and the shirt pulling, here's maybe 35 seconds of action.
You know, that's true, yeah.
These motherfuckers are trained titans to fight 3-minute rounds.
Right.
Like, and then, God forbid, you go for, 12 rounds?
Yeah, yeah.
It's 36 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
That's a half hour of just fighting.
Yeah, insane.
With, like, not even a minute break in between rounds. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? It's crazy. Yeah,
that is.
It's like, you try doing a cycling class, you're like, I could do it. Cycling's weird. Fuck it, I got this. I did a cycling class, motherfuckers, okay?
It's not
and
fun.
So, listen, you don't realize how long Prince's Purple Rain is until you're on a fucking bike and you're like, this is a minute. This is a 37-minute guitar solo. I thought you got the instrumental. Why take the guitar out the instrumental?
You ever done a cycling class? You ever done a cycling class where there's a guy like, you're like, okay, there's a hill, let's go. And you start to hate.
You try
to
stand up on the bike, but then they give you these funky shoes, and they strap your feet into the brake. So it's like, you ever, like, pedal too fast, and then you just got to let your legs run out? Because you're like, all right, this ain't even me. This ain't even me no more. This is just momentum. This is momentum right now, okay?
That's awesome.
But my story was, because what people want to do is, I don't want to be known as a comic cancer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was very fortunate, very blessed to be able to capitalize on some opportunities that were presented, because a lot of people get diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
Not everyone gets an Ellen.
Right.
Not everyone has a Kickstarter go viral.
Yeah.
But, it just showed me the love that was out there.
Like, people, there's good people.
Good humans, good people that I've just associated with. Like, I've, contacted people. I've performed in Atlanta. I performed in Boston. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
I performed all these places, and they shared, and their friends shared. And it's like, but I feel like, I was just talking about this earlier today. I was like, I feel like 90% of people like me when they meet me. And the 5% may not like me because, like, my personality is loud and my energy is big, you know, and so they may not like that. And the other 5% just don't like me. And that's fine. Those are good.
I'm definitely one of the 90%.
Is this how you treat your enemies?
I'm not sure yet. No.
Yo, come to my LA Talk Radio. I don't like you. Boo. What if it's turning out to be a roast?
That's right. You want me to take care of him?
They got me, darling.
My leg.
Motherfucker, they should have never gave you a talk show.
And we're done. I'm just kidding.
It's like I got on Ellen, and she saw fit enough to use her connections and reach out to HBO and get me and help me get an HBO special.
That's amazing that she even did that.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't have to do that. That wasn't planned. I didn't know when knew that was going to happen. And then, I went on there and I did that. It was just, I didn't realize it was so big, I didn't realize. I mean, Ellen's big.
Right.
But you also, we're kind of younger. I don't think any of us go home to watch Ellen at 4. You know what I'm saying? Our parents might tell us to watch. Well, you are Canadian, man. That might be something to do.
Might be a Canadian thing.
It's like, oh, my God. What?
You guys don't watch Ellen?
Get the ketchup chips. It's coming on. It's ketchup Yeah, that's the sound. That's the Vancouver Island call for Ellen.
Ellen, it's on.
I blindly hit the green button,
dude.
And it happened to be that. That's how good my riffing is, y'all.
Nice.
I'm out here. We out here.
I don't even know which one you're in. Oh, that's a good one.
You just gotta hit that.
You were born to be a comic.
I don't know anything else, man. I've been fired from so many jobs. I'm glad that.
So how did you get on the Ellen show? There's so much buzz that from the viral stuff that you were doing about being diagnosed, like, was that part of it? How did it come about?
All that stuff was It was interesting because I interviewed with a couple producers to get on it, and then they thought I was good. They thought I was polished, you know. To get on TV,
yeah,
much less daytime TV, is a big deal.
Process.
You know, it's crazy. I never knew you actually went through. You go through interviews before you even get on, huh? So they, it's like you almost you get casted almost in a way.
They also sort of prepare you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Sort of like let you know what you can and can't really talk about. You know, mm-hmm. They asked me to did I have any jokes, and you know, obviously it was sort of like coach. You know, and I was nervous. I'm not gonna act like I was ready for this moment. But I came out there and it was. It was crazy, man. It was really crazy.
And she was nice, I assume. I've met her once.
Ellen's nice. Very nice. I have nothing bad to say about
Ellen. Cool.
So, you know, but you don't realize her reach. You don't even realize the internet because I was on Daily Mail, mm-hmm. you know, which is in UK. I was, you know, there's a bunch of things. I was just like, oh, man, this is really, really.
That's awesome.
Did you get recognized a lot more after that? Like when you walk on the street, do people come up to you or?
You know, I'm an approachable guy. Yeah. I actually was in New York earlier this year, and it was last year. It was whatever the bombings were.
Mm-hmm.
Was that? Do you guys remember?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year. So I was catching the subway around there that time, and this couple recognized me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll get recognized and people will be like, oh, yeah, you Quincy Jones? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, man, how's it going? You know, and they're like, oh, man, you know, like sometimes, you know, I've heard you on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you this, I heard you that. It's like, oh, what? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. You know what I mean? I'm smart enough to realize that nobody's in this alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, like, we can't do it without one another. So I would never be a dick. There are people out there who are dicks, and that might work for them.
Yeah.
But I'm also, you know, I haven't been doing as long as them, so I don't know why they may not.
I don't know if you remember how we met, but I saw him do a show with Eddie,
mm-hmm.
and his set was so awesome that I walked up to him, and I was like, yo, man, I want you on my radio show. You're amazing. Your stuff is incredible. And then you did the show about 2 years ago, and then you're like, I respect this so much. You're like, hey, man, can you give me a ride to this set? I'm going to do another set. You want to come? Come on, just come. I'm like, cool. And I went to this set that you did in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and he was like, I'm going to do all new material. And so he just went and experimented mm-hmm. with all new jokes. Wow. And what was so awesome, you had a little list. I don't know if you remember this. You had a little list, and you were like, all right, this one's good. All right.
Really? That's how it works.
Okay, good. While he's performing, I was like, dude, this is awesome, you know? Because nobody does that. Yeah. Nobody does that.
I'm also in the moment type comic. Yeah. I'm very, very in the moment. I believe in that. That's like also my thing in life. And so, you know, I just really just was in the moment and vibing and like, you know, it's rare that you meet cool people mm-hmm. that it's not forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we clicked. I was like, yo, man, I'm about to go do, if you like my comedy, I'm about to go do some new shit if you want to come check it out. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah. And when I did it, and like, you know, I acknowledge when stuff isn't working. You know, I don't just dial it in.
Okay.
I love the stage.
Yeah.
If I could just tour and do comedy and make enough to sustain myself, I would do that. Totally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
That's real love for your craft.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
and he's good at it. Like, he's a natural at it.
Like, I'm telling you, I could not do anything else. Like, when I got into comedy, I knew that I was going to be good because I'm going to work towards being good. I didn't get in thinking I was good. Right, no one gets in thinking they're good. But I also saw the growth and progression. Yeah. I remember, you know, a New York comic, David Twitty. We did a show years ago. It was like one of those comedy competitions in like Seattle area.
That's where you're from, right?
Yeah, I'm from Seattle.
Yeah, so we're close.
That's what I said. Yeah, go up there.
Yeah, so we're close.
We're neighbors. We're practically neighbors.
What channel is it? Because I told people
it's on latalkradio.com,
uh-huh.
and then it's also on iTunes and Stitcher.
Okay, well then I'll tell them that. Because people are texting.
Channel 2. Channel 2.
Okay.
You got to tell them.
Right,
it's channel 2.
I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear me live.
Do it. Do it now. Get
it
to
right
the
now.
Chopper. Yeah. Right? Channel 2. They'll figure it out if they're smart. But you know what?
Yeah.
Channel 2.
Sometimes people are kind of dumb, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
well, let's play a clip. Yeah. While you're doing that, let's play a clip. What are we going to play first? What do you want to play,
man,
first?
Man, I don't know. I don't even like doing that stuff.
Okay, well, you, Dimitri, choose one.
I'm just going to pick one right
pick
here.
Pick one. Let's do it.
It's called Quincy Set Number 1.
Nice. Perfect.
That sounds perfect. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, all right, I got these dick jokes. I'm ready to try. Okay, all right. Let me see if this is a woke room or not. Okay. I'm gonna try. Okay, here we go. Dick joke one. Here we go. Right. I'm joking. CrossFit is just a jail workout for free white people. I don't need to do anything else. First show gets an applause break tonight, man. You ready for me, Fallon? Here I come. Alright. Get back in the pocket. I didn't realize how racist I was, man. Real talk, I didn't realize how racist I was until I went to Starbucks today. You know? I'm just bragging. And I went to Starbucks, and the barista asked me my name. So I said, my name's Quincy. I said, oh, wait, what's your name? He said, my name is Dontavius Marcel Johnson. I looked dead in the eyes. I was like, why aren't you an NFL running back? Such a strong name, son. You're missing your God-given name. You just put down the cup, pick up a football, run right out that door. Keep going. All right, so like Trump's in office, you know. Relax, not a political comment, you know. But I got thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Trump's in office, man, and I think now's the time for us to unite. We need to pull together, stop letting petty differences divide us. We got a wake-up call. We got 4 years of shit we got to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So now's the time we need to unite for a common cause to make everything better. You know? That's my thoughts. But thank you, guys. I also can't blame Trump. I can't fault Trump all the way, you know? Because who here hasn't lied to get a job they're not qualified for? Who here hasn't said they know how to use Excel in a job interview? You know what I'm saying? You know when you're real desperate for the job? Like, I have open availability. What's my biggest flaw? I work too hard. I'm too much of a team player. I never know when to quit. That's a good one. Times are crazy, man. Every other month we got a gun shooting. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to take away the guns, but I'm tired of senseless death. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick of that. I feel like we need to at least put some limit on the guns for the crazies. You know what I'm saying? We got to do some fucking tests or something like that, you know? Like my theory's thing. Here, if you want a gun, fine. We take people who want guns, we're like, here, give me a hug. If they cringe, they don't need a gun. You know what I'm saying? They don't need a gun. It's that simple. If you can't accept human contact or a hug, you don't need an AR-15. That's a fact, man. That's simple math, okay? It's that simple. Or, if you want a gun, fine. But we give you a gun based on the animals in your area. That's a fact. All right? So you get a gun. So if you live in, you know, New York or some major city, you only get a 9mm or a 22 because you're only shooting rats and pigeons anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Right? But if you live outside of D.C. or you live in, like, the Midwest, you get every gun. You get every gun because I've seen a moose. Okay? All right, I've seen a moose. And if you're not laughing, let me describe what a moose is. A moose is the equivalent of a horse to 25 years in prison. That's what a moose is, okay? So 9 feet tall, 1,000 pounds. You would let that run up on you. See if you don't want to shoot a bazooka at it or something like that. A lot of couples here, man. A lot of couples. Everyone in love, man. That's cute. Everyone's in love. How long you guys been together, Chief? A while? Damn, but how long y'all been together then? Oh, the watch broke? It's timeless with her, right? You're welcome, man. There you go. That one's for you, a little underhand right there. Timeless when he looks in your eyes. You know, that's not even a tweet. That was from the heart right there, man. But here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Listen. You know, we all know, we all grown up, and we realize that men and women communicate differently. It takes a lot to get to 10 years. You know what I'm saying? It takes, besides weed, it takes compromise. You know what I'm saying? It takes education. It takes patience. It takes understanding. You know, it takes education. You know, those are the things. Mainly comes down to communication. Specifically, questions. Can I do this? I was just about to dismount, too. Now I got to scrap that. Okay. Last joke. Here we go. Here we go. This one. Here we go. Ladies, not all men cheat, but all men struggle with cheating. It's a fact. Not all men cheat, but all men struggle with cheating. The best guy in here can have the best woman. I'm talking home-cooked meals, daily blowjobs, and everything. The one who walked up to him was like, I want to sleep with you. And I was like, psh, no, thank you. I got a woman who does everything I need at home. You know, I don't need that stress. Be well. But she took it one step further and was like, she'll never find out. She'd be like, shit. That was my only line of defense right there. I didn't anticipate the conversation going this far. I said no, she said so. But since we're here, I guess I'll do it. You see, women ought to be faithful because women have been turning down dick their whole life. It's been a long line of no, no, help me move. No, no, pick me up from the airport. No, no, that was Vegas. No, no, you're a Gemini. No, no, you're a friend. That doesn't count. I could barely turn down Costco samples. All right, if you're not laughing, nobody got cheated on into making that joke. So I've been Quincy Jones. Thank you guys, man. Have a great night. Enjoy.
Oh my God, Quincy. I was chuckling the whole time. The delivery, man. It's so good.
Thanks,
so
man.
Good. And that's all new material. I haven't heard any of that stuff.
Oh, no, it's all new material.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Where was that?
That was in D.C. at the Improv.
Wow.
So tell me how, when you got the HBO special.
Yeah, what about?
How did you figure out, what am I going to put on this? What am I not going to put on
this? That's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't know. I had over 2 hours of material, and I knew that I had to make sure. But here's the thing. You got to be able to stand behind what you put out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, when you put something out, you're like, all right, this is going to be subjected to criticism. I stand behind my special.
Yeah.
Not just the fact that it's HBO special. I stand behind it because I think it's good. I think for putting a special together in 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, after having never really been recorded.
You did it in L.A., right?
I did it in L.A., which was like doing an open mic in front of all comics. You know what I'm saying? Everyone came. I did it because it was such a feel-good story. I wanted everyone to feel good.
Yeah.
Imagine, I don't know if you saw my special. But
I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
What?
No, I'm going to watch it this. I'm going to watch it in August or September.
Why? Why'd you wait till then?
Because I'm flying out the country and it's on planes and I want to watch it while I'm on a plane.
Okay.
Oh, it's on planes. Okay. So yeah. It's not on. Is it on demand?
It's on HBO Go, HBO Now. Okay, guys, check out my special on HBO Go, HBO Now. They have a free month if you don't have HBO Go, HBO Now. So there's no excuse for you not to get a good.
No, I want
to
see it.
Hearty sampling of your boy Quincy Jones.
I got HBO.
Comedy.
I'll go watch it.
But in the special, it was like there was a lot of you know, comics in the audience. I would have done so much better had I did it somewhere else with audience members. But I didn't want to deprive the people who helped donate to the special and help get me in a position to get a special the opportunity to see and be a part of the magic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. A lot of times, like, sometimes you have to realize, like, I'm in a position now that I realize that this is bigger than me. You know what I'm saying? And that checks my ego. That checks my anger. That checks my frustration with the industry.
Yeah.
It's bigger than me.
Yeah.
I met the vice president.
That's crazy.
Wow. Like, I've done so much in a short amount of time that it's like, I can't be upset that I didn't get everything I applied for to this year so far.
Right.
But there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right.
And yeah. When God closes one door, another one opens. Yeah. So, right. You know, for me, I really look at that as an opportunity to keep working, keep going, and all that stuff. So.
Well, you stay hungry.
Oh, that's I'm super hungry, thing. Man. Mm-hmm. I, the new hour is 93-94% ready.
Wow. And what are you doing that?
I want to tape sometime this year and try and put out sometime next year.
The one thing, like, Quincy, you were doing, like, these testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
When you were, like, in the hospital.
Yeah.
Going through shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I had no idea he was going through any of this. And then when I read the first one, I read every single one of them now.
Oh, man.
And, man, it's crazy. Like, you're so candid and honest and vulnerable and open and real. And it's refreshing. Like, that's art to me when somebody's that awesome. And then when you see you do your craft, it just makes me happy because it's like you're good, man. It's like the more you do stuff like that, the better your craft gets. That's what I've learned with my own craft, you know, with music. And, man, it's like your comedy is it's a natural part of who you are. And that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
And now you've gone through this other part of adversity, but you've used it to your advantage and you stay motivated. You stay hungry. You stay focused. And, man, I got to tell you, like, that's one of the most inspiring things I've seen in anybody.
Well, thank you, man. I'm able to stay focused because I keep people around me that help keep me grounded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everyone in my life, I would love to talk to some people more than I do. I'd love to, you know, kick it with more people than I do. But, you know, distance and time, energy, money, chemo, whatever the hell it is. It's
like, I sent you text messages on your old text, and you were like, oh, yeah, man, I changed. I was like, giving you these. You missed some heartfelt texts. I got to find those somehow.
Yeah, man, please send them. I got a new number. I had a new number in 2015. I got a new number. I left Sprint, and I got a new number. And so I realize a lot of people don't have that number yet. But it's like, the thing about it is like, people like to project their preconceived notions on you. Like, I didn't change. I haven't changed at all. People around me.
You got more facial hair.
Yeah, I got more facial
hair. You grew the beard. It was like this little tiny strip. But
I've grown it out. I've grown it out. Yeah.
Caveman style.
Yeah, I'm a little rugged.
That's good. Hey, man, me too, man.
You know, the ladies love it. I heard the ladies like beards, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like people project their... I didn't change. Like, I'm the same dude.
Yeah.
Like, TV didn't change me. Nothing changed. And the thing is, the one thing I've learned is that you still have to grind. Like, even if you have... Like, I had to, like, leave some of my representation behind because I was like, what are we doing?
Right.
I don't feel like we should be doing everything, but they wanted me to follow a set of four. I'm like, dude, you can't now tell me to, after, like, getting up to here, to start working my way up through here again.
Right.
We have to now build off this level.
Yeah.
We have to springboard off this. You're trying to get me to go back down
the craziest
to
thing is?
Third to floor.
And this is from somebody who's built, I've built my career on my own, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So many people that give you all that advice are full of shit.
Yeah.
They've never done it themselves, but they have all the advice in the world to get there, and they've never done it themselves. So I've learned now that when somebody starts giving me advice about, oh, yeah, you need to do this, I just kind of like, I sit there and I nod and I go, yeah, you don't have any idea. Have you ever done it? So I ask questions.
Yeah.
And I put them in a place where it's like, oh, well, I have, you know, it's like immediately their advice starts to lose. They hear their own answers when you start asking the right questions. So people kind of have to know that it's bullshit. You know?
I mean, I'm also aware that, like, I'm not the average black dude, black comic, black person, not even the average comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is a guy who got everything on his own.
Yeah.
I got Ellen.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I had to interview with numerous, you know, producers.
And it had to all be clean.
And it had to be clean. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who wrote the material.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I'm self-made. But when it came down to...
No, but you are.
Management didn't get me.
No, I know that.
Agent didn't get me HBO. None of this shit happened with anybody. It was me who did it. And so a lot of times people may... like to think that, I mean, it was so easy for everyone to just come on board.
Right.
And just, like, you know, partake of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I had to get to work. They announced it on Monday. I then had to be on the road for 2 straight weeks grinding it out.
That's crazy.
I went to Atlanta. I did a week in Atlanta. I went to Boston. I did a week in Boston. Shout out to Boston. Shout out to Atlanta.
Those are great cities to attend.
Those are great cities.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I think that where I'll do my next one is Denver or Atlanta.
What about New York? New York's tough. New York's not tough.
New York likes to laugh, but I don't really feel like. Here's the thing: I'm all about putting butts in the seats.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I don't want to do it in a place where I don't feel like I could put butts in the seats.
Yeah,
I would do it in Chicago,
but I'm not Seattle. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Seattle.
I wouldn't do it in Seattle.
It's too easy for you.
I wouldn't say that, man. Seattle is I love my city. I love my city. But I don't feel like they appreciate things the way they should.
That's how L.A. is sometimes, too.
Yeah, that's also. It's like this is the same.
All the big cities are kind of like that.
Dude, I went through so much hell and high water, man. And, like, I went through it, you know, pretty much solo. You know what I'm saying?
You did go through it solo.
Not pretty much.
You had a lot of people around you, but you know what? When I read some of those testimonials, I was like, man, nobody is really experiencing that.
No, nobody's going through. You know, nobody's people are like, oh, man, I want to go through chemo. Like, yeah, I want to go to chemo with you. Right. Like, no, you don't want to do this shit because it's like, what? I'm not going to get used to anybody, you know, saying, trying to, like, be there, and then when I need them, they're not there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's sort of like my biggest fear, you know what I'm saying? Not to, like, get deep and emotional heavy right now, but it's like that's one of my biggest. It's like, I don't ever want to depend on someone to come through.
Yeah.
And they don't come through. I'm like, dog, I don't have anything else now.
Right.
Because I depended on you.
Do you think your comedy has been sharper because you have more, like, to put out there? Like let it all, just put it all out there.
Well, you got to understand, I didn't have any cancer jokes.
Right.
When I was doing, I didn't have cancer jokes. Right. So for me to do a special and include funny cancer material means I created that within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I added 10 minutes of my special in 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
Taped it in.
And you auditioned all that stuff basically in those cities?
And HBO got the first tape and they were like, it's good.
That's awesome. We like it.
Wow.
That's incredible, dude. Yeah. That's incredible. That had to make you be like, damn straight, motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, that was the hardest part because, like, the thing is, like, I'm a very, like I said, I'm a recluse. So I don't like giving out my material.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, of course.
I like to keep my shit very under wraps. I like to just let it drop and be out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And you're probably putting it at the mercy of them as well, right? Because they have all the power not to edit. Are they allowed to edit?
I was part of the editing
process. Okay, awesome.
But I also, there were things about it, you know, I learned so much about the industry. And shout out to the production team of Mickey Blaine and Nicole Blaine. They were great. I learned so much. Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out to my management team, Lisa Murky and Olivia Shapiro. They were great. I want to shout out the HBO people. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, more than accommodating. You know, it was good. It was really
Quincy,
good.
Quincy, where can people find you? Like, I want people to be able to just, like,
look, man, I'm up. Out here, man. We out here. What to do, man? Your boy QJ took. No. If you, I'm all over. I am.
Is your website still the same?
NotThatQuincyJones.com.
I was just telling my mom about it.
NotThatQuincyJones.com.
My mom was like, you know what? That's an amazing website. She's like, tell him I said that.
Oh, shout out, moms. That's right. Thanks, man. NotThatQuincyJones.com on Instagram and Twitter. I am LLQJ206. I know it's kind of long, but it's only because some other motherfucker got LLQJ. And I want to stick with that brand. You know what I'm saying? You know. But yeah, so I'm there. I don't have a Snapchat or anything. I'm old. But please, you know, message me on Facebook or, you know.
He said people can donate somewhere. Where can they donate?
I don't think they could donate. I don't have a GoFundMe.
Oh, you don't have a GoFundMe?
It's just like on your website, you should just donate to my bank account.
But that's the thing.
PayPal.
When people donate, they feel like you owe them something.
Right.
They feel like, oh, they own a piece of you. I'm like, I'm not for sale.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like imagine me just come back with another HBO special within the next year.
Right.
You know?
Which you will.
And I'm like, yo, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready, man. Let me get out there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I've tried to follow the rules of the industry, and they haven't worked in my favor.
But they will. They will.
It works out in the end, but I don't think, I can't do the conventional. You know? Like, I didn't have a conventional journey here. I didn't have a conventional anything, so I can't start doing conventional now. Like, work your way up through the ranks, get in the writing room. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Dude,
I know.
We already did. We've surpassed that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be auditioning for that stuff. That's just sort of be like, yo, your homie's got this show. I have a client who has this show. Why don't we put you in
contact? Why'd you do my show more often, man? Come on down.
Guys, I'm going to be back. let's lock it in right now.
Let's lock it in. You know what, Quincy?
Let's lock it in.
You have been one of my favorite guests.
Stop lying.
I'm telling you,
guys, we got to wrap it up too. Yeah, but I like these appraises.
But I'll tell you this. I want you back. I want more clips. I want you back sooner than 2 years. And man, I wish you nothing but the best. And world, wake up Hollywood, because Quincy Jones, the real Quincy Jones, the comedian. Is the real deal. And so thank you for doing the show tonight.
No, I want to really say thank you, because he thinks he's slick. He thinks because he didn't lock in a day. He thought he was slick. But, you know, whatever. We let it slide. I'm a chill dude. I understand he's in the industry, big time musicians and whatnot.
Hey, come on now. Come on.
Easy now. I don't know about the big time.
Big time.
You performed at a major event.
I'm doing one in like 2 months.
Did you do Staples Center or something?
I didn't do Staples Center. I'm doing a big festival, Arroyo Seco, at the Rose Bowl.
Last year you did something big, though.
What did I do last year? I did Sundance and I did Summerfest.
Huge. I love how he casually drops that. Like, oh, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do Staples Center. I did a prestigious fucking film.
I
want
to do
festival.
Staples Center, though. You know, that's something I'm going to look forward to.
Dude, listen, we got goals.
Yeah.
All that is like, when we don't get it when we want it, God's like, yo, it's not your time right now. Yeah. You're not ready for what would come with everything with it.
Yep.
Like, I thought I was going to blow up in 2013 when I was doing 1,000 sets.
Yeah.
But if I'd gotten everything I got now, then I wouldn't have done it as good as I did it now.
Yep.
Or when I did it.
I totally agree.
So for me, it's like, that's what you have to understand. Like, when you don't get something you want, it's like, yeah, it's disheartening.
Right.
But it's all temporary. Everything's in transition, and you have another opportunity to do something else. So for me, my advice to comedians or musicians or anybody, in case you want to hear what an old dude like me got to say, is like, yo, keep grinding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And work hard, be kind. Remember, everybody's at work. You know what I'm saying? And everyone has a job that they hate, so don't be a dick unnecessarily. You know what I'm saying? Be humble, or God will do it for you. And if you don't believe in God, then believe that something out there's bigger than you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to believe in God. I don't believe in religion. I'm, you know, spiritual. Like, I believe in God. I don't need to call him cheese or man in the moon. Right. But, you know, I believe in that. Yeah. So it's like, you got to understand that there's so many things bigger than you. And someone would always love your problems.
Right.
Whatever problem you got, whether it's moving back up to Vancouver Island and going back to that little town, whether it's arguing with your girl, somebody out there would love to have a girl. Somebody out there would love to be able to get into Canada.
That's true.
What I'm saying? There's someone out there who would love any one of your problems. And that puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
And once you have perspective, you can now try and achieve balance. And balance is also hard, because it's like, work hard, play hard. But you know what I'm saying?
Dude,
you get what I'm saying? Well, anyways, I don't want to...
Give me chills, man.
I don't want to go over time, guys.
No. That was perfect. That was prophetic, badass. And dude, you got to come back.
Oh, that's not the sound I was going for. Ladies, hold on. No, not that. I don't mean that. No, we're not at the right.
Let's see.
Whoa, hey, ladies.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Quincy Jones. We'll see you back.
Peace.
Thanks again, Dimitri Cerny.
Thank
is me, Nick Carullo. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carullo and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.